Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome. Welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tim, episode 263, and today we are beginning a short series on the topic of teaching with integrity, teaching with biblical integrity. And we're going to begin where we really ought to begin, which is with excellent Ezra, most excellent Ezra. And we will dive into Ezra chapter 7 in just a minute. But just to say where these classes kind of come from, what I'm going to share this week and the next couple of classes is based on a class I just recorded for the Athens Institute of Ministry, UK and Ireland branch, if you like, on the topic of biblical integrity. I'm not going to give you everything in that class, but some bits and pieces, partly because I'm sure they'll be useful, but also partly as I hope an inspiration to consider yourself signing up for the Athens Institute of Ministry program that we're running, myself, Douglas Jacoby, Andy Bawachi, over the next 3 years. And you can sign up for one module or you can sign up for the whole three-year class series. It's entirely up to you. But I'll have information in the show notes, and I'd just like to encourage you to sign up. If you think this kind of material is useful for you, then what we're doing in these classes, you'd find even more helpful. I can guarantee that. But for now, let's talk about Ezra. And one of the reasons for talking about Ezra is this. On this Teaching Tips playlist, you'll find a mix of practical suggestions and, if you like, attitude issues addressed. And in some ways, you could say that the knowledge and of what we're teaching and the way to get it across is primary. And in another way, you could say that the attitude is primary. Of course, you can have all the education and Bible knowledge in the world and still be, well, quite frankly, not only a bad, but quite possibly a significantly problematic teacher of God's word. So we've got to balance and blend the knowledge and the techniques with the right attitude. But for sure, if we don't have the right attitude, we're not going to get far, even with the best training and tips and techniques and the most extensive knowledge. And Ezra is somebody who seems to combine all this. I think it's one of the reasons why he's such a wonderful example. So let's have a look at just one verse for today. Ezra chapter 7. And we'll start in verse 8. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. We see God blessing his traveling, his efforts, his ambition, his vision, you could say. Then verse 10. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Three key things summarized neatly in that one verse. He's devoted. What's he devoted to? Study of God's word, the observance of God's word, the teaching of God's word. If you and I are going to be people who teach with proper integrity, with biblical integrity, with spiritual integrity, these are three things we must involve ourselves in, and we can't neglect any of these three: to study, to observe or practice, and to teach. So let's take these three things briefly. To study. He is somebody who's devoted himself to study. This was not easy, especially in his day. There was no Bible app for him. No even printed Bible. Scrolls, large scrolls, hard to carry around and travel with. Not easy to study in themselves, and very, very expensive. He invested time and resources in the study of God's word. My challenge to you, if you can accept it, is to ask you, how are you doing at investing resources into your own Bible study? And by those resources, I mean two things: time and money. Time and money. Yes, there is always time for the things that matter most. How can you maximize your potential study time. You and I may have different circumstances. Some of us might be able to study for half a day. Some of us might have half an hour. How can you maximize your study time? By removing distractions, by blocking out time, by being organized, by being disciplined with our sleep so that we have enough energy, perhaps in the morning or at some point in the day, to do some decent study. How can you maximize your time? And how can you maximize your the use of your finances to help you with this? And I share this because my experience of talking to people is I see a little too much a reliance on free resources. Now, there are some great free resources out there, things like the Bible Project online and others, BEMA podcasts maybe. There's some good stuff out there. But if you're going to get really knowledgeable and deep in your Bible study enough so where you can pass things on to other people, I would say you need to invest some of your money in good Bible software, whether it's Logos or Accordance or others, good Bible software, good Bible dictionaries, good Bible commentaries. Do you invest the money? Yes, there are free commentaries online written in the 1800s, perhaps even the early 1900s. And there's some good things there. And I think we should read older commentaries and books. But what about the modern scholarship? Yes, it's going to cost you money. And yes, often these commentaries and Bible dictionaries are not the cheapest compared to other books because they don't have as big a market, at least not in my country. But it's worth investing 10, 20, 30, 40 pounds. I don't know how much money I've invested over the years in Bible software and other books that I have here. I'm guessing it's literally thousands of pounds. Maybe you don't have thousands, although by the time you get to your 60s, where I am, if you've been consistent, you might have had enough money to do that. But nonetheless, could you invest some money in some decent Bible software, dictionaries, commentaries? If you bought one a year for 10 years, it would build up a great library. So study takes investment, time, and frankly, money. Let me ask you, how much do you spend on your television package per month? What if you spent half as much of that on Bible study resources? What an amazing library you'd soon have. But secondly, he's not only someone who studies, he is also somebody who's devoted to the observance of the law of the Lord. He puts into practice what he studies. This is critical, isn't it? This helps us avoid being hypocritical when we teach other people. And I'd say in particular, for those of us who preach and teach reasonably regularly, this is why it's important to prepare our sermons in advance or our lessons in advance. Because only if you prepare them in advance can you actually practice what you're then going to teach. The preparation of lessons on a Saturday to preach on a Sunday or a Friday to preach on a Sunday or a Tuesday to teach on a Wednesday night, this is highly problematic. Sometimes there are emergencies, we understand that, but not as a regular practice. Because if I'm preparing a lesson on Saturday for preaching on Sunday, how on earth am I going to live it? I mean, maybe I've already been living it. But even then, if I'm preparing a lesson, I surely need to be thinking fresh in a fresh way about the topic, which means I would need to be refreshing the way I live it. That's why I think it's significant, really important, very significant that we start preparing in advance. My general rule, I don't like rules, but you know what I mean. My general practice is that if I'm speaking on Sunday, I have already decided on my text and begun preparation on the Monday before the Sunday, at least that sort of 6-7 days beforehand. That's what I usually do because then I know on Monday what I'm talking about. I know the passage, I know the general point, even if I haven't studied it in all its depth. And then I have a chance to live it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So when I come on Sunday, it's not like I will preach my example. That's not the point at all. But the point is more, I'm able to preach with a knowledge that I have been practicing this, and that brings authenticity to my lesson. And frankly, that's about integrity. If we're not living it, then how can we teach it with integrity? And that takes some preparation in time before. So how do you prepare that? I mean, how do you prepare yourself to practice so that you can then teach? I'd like to know what you think. So he studies, practices, and thirdly, he teaches. He teaches its decrees. In other words, he's not devoted to his study simply for intellectual pleasure, although that's not a bad thing, but that's not only that. He doesn't study only for his own benefit. although there's value in, of course, practicing these things. But he also studies and practices so that he can effectively teach other people with integrity, teaching what your study of God's word has inspired you to practice. That's one of the best ways to be a teacher with biblical integrity, teaching what your study of God's word has inspired you to practice. If we do that, we will be people who teach with biblical integrity. We will have an authenticity that comes not from, in a sense, our righteousness, but just from an attitude of honoring God's word. You will never be perfect in your study. You'll never be perfect in your practice of God's word, and you'll never be perfect in the act of teaching. None of us will. But we can teach without hypocrisy and with integrity. I hope these tips help you. I hope the example of Ezra is an inspiration to you. And if you've never studied Ezra, then now's a good time to do it, because there's so much more of his life that's admirable and worthy of imitation and can inspire you and I in our study and our practice and our teaching of God's word. So let me know what you think about all this. What will help you to approach your study and teaching of God's word with the greatest integrity? How could you be more like this amazing, excellent Ezra, the man who devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching his decrees and laws in Israel? Let me know what you think. I'll drop a link to the AIM program in the show notes, so do have a look for that. And if you would like to sign up, please do. If you've got a question about it, drop me a line, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. You can leave a message anywhere you hear or see this recording. My website will take voice messages, or you can just send me an email. Until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care. God bless.